Hello and welcome to St Martin's Church, North Nibley, for the service of the Word on this, the second Sunday before Advent. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy and peace be with each one of you, and also with you. We worship with Christians near and far, living and departed, old and young. God's word is for every one of us, and may it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path throughout our lives. And we come before God. We pray, Lord, speak to us, that we may hear your word. Move among us, that we may behold your glory. Receive our prayers, that we may learn to trust you. Amen. The collect for today, that special prayer written for the second Sunday before Advent. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And some of the reading in the scripture that we come across is difficult, and we do need to mark and learn and inwardly digest. And we'd be thinking about apocalyptic literature today in our sermon slot. And we do need help with that from God and the Holy Spirit to help us understand it. So let's have our first reading. And that is Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out liberations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for evermore. Amen. Excuse me. The Old Testament reading is Daniel, and it's about the end of time. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as had not happened from beginning of nations until then. But at that time your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars for ever and ever. Here endeth the reading. And now hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumours of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of birth pains." This is the word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've recently read a book by the French author Guy de Maupassant, and I'm reading another of his as well, which, considering that it was written in the 1850s, it was a bit racy. It did, however, cause me to look up the cathedral in Rouen. And I think that I might like to visit this city in Normandy and admire the cathedral spire, the highest in Europe. I like to imagine how on earth the builders managed to produce something so beautiful and long-lasting to the glory of God, or possibly to the glory of the long-forgotten architects and benefactors who paid for the thing. And it was built with such fine details and incredibly precise tolerances, the finished building standing for many of hundreds of years. The disciples were probably of the same feeling as they sat gazing across at the temple, commenting on its immense stone blocks placed one upon another in an intricate structure of beauty. Jesus dismissed their sentimentality and killed the moment. "It's just a pile of stones, and it will end up as a heap of stones resembling a monumentous quarry." Have you ever been walking up the street, deep in your own thoughts, and come across a street preacher prophesying that the end of the world is nigh? You can also come across it on the live news broadcast from outside Westminster on the lunchtime BBC News. The presenter is presenting and someone walks into the shot with a big placard announcing the end of the world, with a brief summary of required action on our parts: repent. You can take it two ways. Either hail them as core either hail them as core to your own religious beliefs, or casually cross the road and quicken your pace. But all joking aside, there will be a second coming, and we do not know when it will come. The Bible has a fair bit of apocalyptic literature in it, and Daniel and Revelation immediately spring to mind as examples. It is a type of Jewish and early Christian literature, the bulk of which stems from the years 200 BC through to about 100 AD. And that's the sort of time when it was being written quite a lot. And it contains visions or revelations, hence the term apocalyptic, from the Greek apocalypsis, meaning a revelation or a disclosure from God concerning the imminent coming of the end of the present evil age and the final advent of God's kingdom. Jesus was obviously in a apocalyptic mood that day as he spoke to his disciples about things to come, when the temple would indeed be in a heap, which 70 years later it was, thanks to the Romans in that case, but that wasn't the point he was making. He told the disciples what signs with regards to the end, the second coming, the end of the world, he told his disciples what signs not to look out for. Wars, famine, earthquakes, false prophets and the like, that's life. And he didn't say what the imminent signs would be, particularly. Or more alarmingly, neither did he say when it would happen. But that is obviously a good thing, because otherwise we would glide through life thinking that it's probably a long way off in the future and nothing to do with us, which means that we would just ignore it. But possibly, not possibly, definitely to our peril. In all probability, looking around, none of us here today will be around on earth when it comes. But that shouldn't stop us from being prepared, because that's the whole point of today's gospel. Yes, God will destroy the evil that abounds here on earth. The gospels are written around that certainty. But don't forget that he will also bring in the new creation to replace it, which is exactly what we want to be a part of, dead or alive at the time. So don't be afraid and get working on your relationship with God and your discipleship with a happy, God-loving heart now, rather than when it's too late. Amen. And so we come to our creed, where we declare what it is that we believe in. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we come to our time of prayer. And it's no good going to God asking for this, that and the other if we haven't put ourselves right with God. And so we look back over the last few days and think about where we might have done things differently and where we got it wrong. And we ask for God's forgiveness, knowing that if we are truly sorry, then he will wipe the slate clean. And so we pray together, Lord God, we've sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive you your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Everlasting God, as we approach the end of another church year, we look back with gratitude and thankfulness for all of the blessings you have sent our way. And we thank you for all those extra services where we've tried to reach out to the community and they've come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we pray for our church and its role and place within the benefice and within the diocese. We pray for the bishops, Robert and Rachel. We pray for Leslie and the team clergy here in this benefice. And we pray for this church, and we thank you for those who've worked so hard arranging fellowship, outreach and fundraising events. Thank you for the new members of our congregations that we've gained this year, and the visitors throughout the year who've joined us in worship. Thinking especially and praying especially for those parents of the school children who come into our church when the school are doing services there. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for people suffering from the effects of conflict, terrorism, and persecution in all parts of the world. And those who have been affected by strange weather patterns due to global warming around the world. We pray for those who feel undervalued, ignored, forgotten in their work or life, and for those who do not have enough of life's basic needs: food, clothing, shelter. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we remember the people that we live amongst here in the village. We pray for them all and their families. And as we pray for our neighbours, especially those who are a bit more difficult, may they not only be mere words that we say, but our day-to-day, moment-by-moment inaction in the things that we do and the way that we do them. And help us to try and include these people in everybody in what we do and be nice to everyone, to love our neighbour. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for all who suffer in body, mind or spirit, and for those who care for them. We pray for the sick, especially the long-term sick and those who grow old. We pray for those who mourn, for those without faith, hope or love. We especially pray now for those known to us who have no one to pray for them and need our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we pray to you for those whom we love but see no longer. Give to the departed your peace. Let light perpetual shine upon them. And in your loving wisdom and almighty power, work in them the holy purpose of your perfect will. We pray for those who are arranging the funerals of their loved ones in the next week or so, and who are desperately mourning their loss. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we pray for ourselves as we go out from your house today to start the week ahead. We ask that in all that we do, we may walk more closely with you at our side, safe in the knowledge that your fatherly love and care knows no bounds. Teach us to trust totally in you, Lord. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer in whatever version you feel comfortable with. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ came and stood amongst his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Amen. Now, I've got some dates here. They're only scribbled down, ready for me to put on the calendar, but I'll share them with you. On the 14th of December, 14th, Saturday, the 14th of September at 2 o'clock, I am marrying my youngest daughter, Rebecca, to Dan Wakely, who wonderfully is going to shed his surname that he's got for personal reasons, and he's going to take the Marsh surname, which is quite lovely. Anyway, it's the 14th of December at 2 o'clock. Now, you remember with Jessica, lots and lots and lots of you came for the tea and cake in the service. I put it in that order. It was probably the service and tea and cake that brought you that way around. But and you supported her, and it meant such a great deal, both to me and to Jess and the family. And so I'm inviting every one of you to come and do the same with young Rebecca, who is now a member of our congregation, now that she's living back in the village. And so please do come and support her on December the 14th, 2 o'clock, and then tea and cake afterwards. And we've been busy making all sorts of cakes for you. So please do come. That will mean a great deal to her. I can say that, and I know that to be true. Right, moving on. So the very next day after that wedding, the 15th, the Sunday, we've got the living crib in the chapel at 3 o'clock, and hopefully we'll have the donkey and some hens and things, and children doing the living crib. And that very same day also, at 6 o'clock, we have the carol service in St Martin's. So that's the 15th, Sunday the 15th. Living crib and carol service. And then on the 24th of December, Christmas Eve, we have the Walk of Witness, which goes from the church to the chapel, doesn't it, on Christmas Eve. That's at 10 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock Christmas Eve, we have Christingle. And at 11:15 on Christmas Eve, we have Holy Communion in the chapel. And then the following Sunday, the first Sunday after Christmas, 9:30. Oh no, Christmas Day, Christmas morning, 9:30, Holy Communion in the church, St. Martin's. And I'm taking that, and I'm very happy to be taking that. Well, I'm very happy to be taking all the services that I do with you, but I'm especially happy to be doing that one. So those are the dates that you probably need to know about and start thinking about and planning how you're going to get there. Good. Now, going out to serve the Lord. Faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases and whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love, new every morning in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of you and those that you love this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you so much for listening and sharing in this worship, and I will be with you in a couple of weeks. Have a lovely time until then. Bye.